Would you like to pray together with me? And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, my rock and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of you may think, oh, this is a very familiar passage. Again and again, I've heard it so many times. But let's put it this way. God's word is everlasting, is really alive. Each time when we read God's word, there will be new revelation. There'll be something that the Lord's going to speak to us. And this afternoon, I just pray that the Lord will speak to us in this parable of the prodigal son, the return of the prodigal son. Just before that, I just want to share, thank you for praying for me and Carol. This is my 45 days of fast and prayer, 4 more days to go. I end my fast and prayer on the Wednesday, 25th. It's been a tough time, but a very good time with the Lord. If you were to ask me, would I want to go through another period of fast and prayer, I would say yes, if the Lord agree with me, if the Lord allows me, because it's really wonderful. And then also that the last 8 days, beginning from last Wednesday to this coming Wednesday, I spend my time in a what they call it, a cell. So I'll be returning to my cell, prison cell, at Holland Road, the Roman Catholic Center, where I started my silent retreat. So it was good to be quiet before the Lord. Just be quiet, don't say anything, and the Lord will just reveal himself. So tonight after the service, I will join a little while for the reception, and then I'll say bye-bye to you. I'm going back to my cell to be locked up there. It's just a small little room with a table, with a bed, and a little wardrobe, and a small washing basin to wash up. So you are supposed to contain in the cell from morning to night. So only mealtime you go out and eat, and you take a bath in the common toilet. Other than that, you're supposed to lock yourself in it. What do I do? The Lord asked me to keep quiet, to shut up, and wait for him. And that's what I've been doing. The Lord has not spoken. He was very quiet for the first few days, nothing at all. And I was afraid and asked him, is it my sin that you're not speaking to me? Is it because something I've done? Actually, we have to respect God's right to be silent. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 tells us, when the seventh seal was opened, there was half an hour of silence in heaven. So what more on earth? Continue to pray for me as I seek the Lord further. Left tomorrow until Wednesday, where I'll be quiet before the Lord. Nothing, he says nothing. Only on yesterday, when I went into the chapel and just be still before him, and he spoke something to me. Actually, he had been speaking, except through his word. I always think that he would speak to me with a verse or with something to put in my heart, but he was totally silent. And I respect him, but he has the right to be silent. But yesterday he spoke something which is very, very assuring. So thank you for praying. Today I'm going to share with you, actually supposed to be on a bold praying community. But just before I enter into my cell, into my solitude, into my seclusion, the Lord brought this passage of Luke 15 to me. And it is in the cell that I prepared this message. I believe the Lord will speak to each one of us because he spoke to us very clearly. And I did not bring handphone, I did not bring laptop. So everything is handwritten, even scripture verse. It's like the scribe of the old, you have to write it down. And when you write the verse down, it really helps you to know that God is speaking to you, because handphone is one of the best instruments, but yet it's the worst, because you cannot live without instrument. For me, it's I bring myself around when I go to the retreat center, the silent center, when I see beautiful squirrel and flowers, I will take photograph and start sending to people. No, no handphone, no laptop. Is it easy? Yeah, it is easy. Just put your phone at home, off you go to the center, and we'll continue to do that. So in case you WhatsApp me, I didn't reply, it's because I'm in a cell with the Lord, and it's beautiful, really beautiful. I encourage you to do that, right? So while in the cell, let me share, I'm very excited. What do I do in the cell, morning to evening? I just lock myself in. Morning, I will go and make my breakfast, grape juice, 2 grapefruit, freshly squeezed with some honey, and that's my breakfast. And I will lock myself in the room and then pray. Until lunchtime, I get out and eat, and then go back to my room and pray. Until on and off, I'll go to the garden and stroll around the garden and asking the Lord anything that he wants me to know. Nothing. no one is with me. I kept very quiet. I can't even pray because the Lord asked me to shut up, keep quiet. I talked to myself, and I talked to the squirrels. There are many, many squirrels around the area. They are very friendly squirrels. They're Catholic squirrels. Very friendly. Not a Protestant squirrel. But see, you only jump, 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 run about. They are friendly. You can almost near them. Beautiful squirrel. But yeah. So I'll be spending Sunday to Wednesday. I told go to this retreat. I mean, silent retreat. If you are a married man, please discuss with your family that whether you should go or not, because they're going to miss them. Carol missed me in this couple of days. And today is my free day. I come up from the cell, and I'll be going back tonight again. So, yeah, it's good. God speaks very clearly when you're quiet, and when he's quiet, both of us speak. When you give time to the Lord, he will give time to you. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32, Jesus spoke about three parables. I mean, chapter 15, verse 1 to 30, three parables, right? The first parable is the parable of the lost sheep. The second one is the lost coin. And the third one from verse 11 to the end is about human. The first two, one is animal, the sheep. Second one is an object lost by this woman. But the third one is slightly different. The third one is involve human. The sheep is easily get lost and is easily strayed. You need someone to bring him back. So once the sheep is lost, they don't know how to come back. So it need a shepherd, which represents the Lord, God, to bring the sheep back. The lost coin is something very precious to the woman, to the lady. And you know, in the house, during the New Testament time, the houses make a lot of rocks. If you visited Israel, the Holy Land, they will bring to such places. It's all rocks. And sometimes a coin that rolls into it, you can't see. And they don't have windows, so the place is dark. So what the woman do is light up a lamp, and then search for the coin, because some of the coin can roll into in between the cleft of the wall. You can't find it. So you need the lamp to look it. When you go to Israel, they'll bring you to such a place. So you can't see the coin. So you have to get the light to see where the coin. And when she found it, she was excited. Same as the shepherd when he found the sheep, lost sheep, wounded. He was very happy, carried it back, and there was a celebration. But the third one involves us because it's human, right? The third one is the lost son. Involves not an animal, not an object. It involves human. Human relationship is involved. People, not animal or object. It involves deep emotions. It involves the warmth of human love. It involves hatred. It's a drama. It involves hatred. It involves hurts. It involves forgiveness. It involves acceptance and willing to go back. Repentance. I would like us to look at seven characters, which I find very interesting in this parable of the return of the prodigal son. Seven characters. The first one, of course, is the man who had two sons. Okay, this can be found in verse 11 and verse 12. And then let me just look at verse 12, verse 11. And Jesus said there was a man who had two sons. And the younger son said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided the property between them. Verse 20, let's talk about the father, verse 20. And the son arose and came to the father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him. It means embrace him many times and kissed him. Verse 22 to 24. But the father, when the son returned and confessed, the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hands, shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and rejoice. And verse 31 to 32. And he said, this father said to the older son, son, you are always with me. All that is mine is yours. It is fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother was dead. This, your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost but is found. You see the father's love for both sons, whether it's the elder son or the younger son, equal. What he has belongs to both of them. But the second son chose to ask for inheritance earlier before the father died. Just ask for it. After all, it belongs to him. So he wants it. So the father's love is very fair for both of them. What the Father has belongs to them, belongs to both of them. So obviously this doesn't talk about the mother. I don't know, Scripture is not silent about it. Two sons, one brother, one older brother and younger brother. Observe the way he loves both sons. And the first son said, I want, he gave. Some of them say, why does the father love him? Is he spoiling the son? Why he give? After all, it belongs to the father and he has the right to give or not to give. But to the father, as a father, I believe that whether I give or not, he will somehow want it and he somehow keep on nagging and somehow he will get it. So might as well love him, show him my love. I give it to you. But giving to him, the father has in mind that he will return. He will, because money, everything, property can be finished. He will be in need. And when he's in need, I will be there for him. So the father allows him to go. And the second son, if I don't allow, he still will find ways and means. Verse 20. The moment I believe the son steps out. Okay, let's look at verse 12. And the youngest of them said, Father, give me the property. And then verse 13, not many days. That means there's still a couple of days he's with the father. Already given him the money. He could have accumulated, could have packed up his things. Not many days later, the youngest son gathered all that he had and took a journey. The moment the son left the father's house, that is the moment when the father awaits for him to come back. It's not while he's out hoping that the moment he left, the father is hoping to us, is praying that the son will return and surely will return. And then once he left, the father doesn't give up. Okay, verse 22. There was so much acceptance from the father. Let's look at verse 22. But the father said to his servant, bring quickly the best robe, because he was wearing nothing, very tattered and torn, and put on him, put a ring on his finger, acceptance, put shoes on his feet, accepting his son back to him, bring him back to his status as his son. That means this son, when he comes back, after he have lost everything, he comes back, all the property goes back to him. He owns the servant, he owns the calf, he owns whatever the father owns. He left, he squandered everything. But when he returns, put a ring on him, put shoes on him, put a robe on him, that means bring him back to his status, origin. Then he has the right as the father, he has the right as his brother to own everything, to be in charge of everything. You see, the father's love is waiting for him. So there was that celebration, verse 23, bring the fatted calf, celebrate. And then verse 23 says there was, kill it and celebrate. And verse 24, there was joyful. This my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. What was broken, the relationship was restored. In fact, in a better position. After realizing his fault, Father accepted me. It's better restoration. When the Lord restores us, it's more than 100% perfect. It's totally, totally perfect. And because of the experience the father and the son has, it builds up the relationship even closer. Back to his status, you can command the servant, you can command whatever you want, you have the right because you are my son. And this is the beautiful restoration. Restored back to the father. Father was hurt, right? The father was broken. A broken relationship was restored. The father was hurt. The words the son said to him, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. Why don't you give it to me? That was his first statement. It was replaced by later when the son comes back. From Father, give me this share of property that's coming to me. Turn to Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your sons. There was a transformation. Give me. And now, Father, I've sinned. The father's heart must be really, really broken when the son left. But when he comes, even more broken. Broken in the sense, beautiful relationship is being restored. Can you sense and feel the emotion of the father. Yeah, the father saw him, felt compassion, ran. How old is the father? We don't know, but he really ran. Right? People say, but he must every day looking out. Like today, I was during a fast and prayer, I was looking, who will be coming? Hopefully, someone will come. He said he will come, but look, bowl, I don't have. So I felt like the father, oh, look, no. This is just joking. So his father saw him, felt compassion, and ran and embraced him, really embraced him, cuddle him, hug him, and kiss. The Bible says kiss, embrace means over and over and over again. The father in verse 22-24, he takes no account at all of the way he was treated. No account at all. Like what the psalmist says, as far as the west is from the west, so far removed us. So there's no account, nothing at all. He did not condemn his son. He said, I told you, I give you. Yeah, now then you realize it, you come back. No such. Never even rebuke the son. But full acceptance. God is such a father. Is there something to learn here from God? When someone returned to us, someone who have hurt us, someone returned to us, do we, like the father, embrace the child back? Character number two, the younger son, rebellious. 11 verses is touched on this. His original state was same as his brother. What belongs to the father, equal both of them have. Verse 13 to 16, the moment he left his father's house or his home, he lost his status. He lost it. Far away country. Why far away country? Knowing his father's character, will go after him. If today's scenario, he will leave his handphone at home or change his handphone, or else the father will WhatsApp, WhatsApp, email, whatever. He left everything behind. So far away country represented far away from the watchful eyes of his father. No way the father can trace him out of far, far away. In the olden days, far means far. No way can the father tag him at all. Right? Like today's WhatsApp. No, totally. He changed his phone number. He changed everything. So not contactable. Like this few days, I'm not contactable because I'm in the cell. Through the amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. Right? The second son is like that. Younger son's status was okay until he left. But now he returned. Note that the time he realized, verse 17, he woke up from his enjoyment and back to his father in verse 20. It was a long journey. From the moment he realized that let's look at verse 17. The moment he realized, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more enough bread? I perish here. I will arise, verse 18. When he think of it, and when he said, I will arise and go to my father and say to him, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. From that verse 17 to verse 20, when he arose and came to the father. How long the scriptures did not mention. It must be a long journey returning. But when he was returning home, what was in the mind of the son? Right? It's not just whom come back. He must have gone through a lot of turmoil. He said, I've done such terrible thing, squandered everything. Will my father accept me? In one hand, he believed they will, but when he accept me, will he rebuke me? Will he scold me? All this we never think of what the prodigal son go through, the period when he said, I return, and then return. It must be a very terrible period, torturing period for him. No doubt he repented, but go through the turmoil going, I've hurt my father, I've done such wrong. Will he look at me? How will he look at me? With what kind of eyes will he look at? I know my father's character he loved, but will there be slightest of anger in him? Will the father accept him? How about the others, the servants? Will the servants say, hi, this guy come back already. No money, come back already. How about his own brother? I think this all go through his mind. So it's never easy for the prodigal son to return once. Wake up, return. This journey is, unless with God's grace, unless with God's conviction, unless with the Holy Spirit conviction in our life, we can never go back with repentance. Because too much guilt in us, too much condemnation in us. Will people accept us? Will my brother accept? Will servants, even the servants? It's not easy. Returning with guilt, being cast down, it's not easy. What is our response? How many times we, not say how many, sometimes we behave like the prodigal son. Was he glad when the father accepts him? Yes, but the guilt still there because he has done harm to his father, to his brother, and to all the workers. It's forgiven, but yet the guilt is there in his mind. God is love. He is a just God too. So when we sin against the Lord, just be careful. Don't keep on sinning against him. You know, his wrath is as real as his love. God is love, but God's wrath is also real. So don't kid with God, okay? Don't kid with him. In other words, what Chukang says, don't play with God. No, pray with God. Don't kid with him. He's loving, he's just, and his wrath is as real as his love. Open with me to Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to read a couple of verses there. We are like the prodigal son. Sometimes we choose to go our own way, whether it be Christian or non-Christian. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11. Sins and repentance. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11. The multitude of your sacrifice, the Lord says, the multitude of your sacrifice, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of the fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. Verse 12. When you come to appear before me, who has asked of you this trembling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moon, Sabbath, convocation, I cannot bear evil assemblies. Verse 14. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates, God says. They have become a burden to me. Just by listening, God says, it's a burden to me. I'm reading from the NIV. I'm weary of bearing this. Verse 15. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. And this is the wrath of God. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead with the case of the widow. Verse 18, there's hope. Even though God is so strong, cannot stand it. God says in verse 18, come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. The words scarlet and crimson are like blood that has stained the hands of murderers. Verse 19, if you are willing, God gives chance. First he said, come, let us reason together. And in verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be destroyed by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If we are like the prodigal son at times, we need to come back with a heart of repentance. As I said, don't kid with him. God's wrath is as real as his love. And when he hates it. So don't. Psalm 38, verse 1, which I shared earlier during the fast and prayer. Psalm 38, verse 1 says, O Lord, do not rebuke me. The cry of the psalmist, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Verse 21, O Lord, do not forsake me. Be not far from me, O my God. And verse 22, come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior. Prodigal son turns to the Lord, but still thinking of his sin. But to God, when we come to him, yes, his wrath is as real as his love, but he forgives. He really forgives. So how many times have we, at times, like the prodigal son, disobey? But when you come back to the Lord, he says, come, let's reason together. Do we be like that? It can be like that. So God accepts us as we are. So no guilt feeling, nothing at all. And the character number three, the people who was with the second son, precious time, enjoying time together. And verse 13 and 14, let's look at the verse 13 and 14. Not many days, the younger son gathered all he had, took on a journey, and there he squandered his property in what? Reckless living. But the older brother put it differently. He says, in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a famine arose in the country and he began in one. Who are these people? The scriptures do not say. Is this his acquaintances? Is it friends? Secret friends that he longed to enjoy with? Who are they? Don't know. But these are the people who will pull him down. Our circle of friends who will pull us down too. Character number four, verse 15 and 16. The citizen who fed, who hired him. Okay, verse 15 and verse 16, I'm going to end soon. Verse 15 and 16, let's look at it. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country who sent him to his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. God provided this citizen of the country, firstly, to provide a job for him, dignity back. Secondly, provide an opportunity for him to realize how bad he was. For a Jewish, this is talking about Jewish, to be near the pig, they're not supposed to eat pig, pork, to be near them, what else? To be around sleeping with the pigs, this is really degrading until the worst degrade. And God used this citizen to provide that for him to be awakened that he is really terrible state, then he'll be awake. God does that to bring us, chastise us until we got no choice but to awaken us. And God provided this citizen to hire him. Character number five, the older son. A lot of things to talk about him. Five verses, verse 25 to 30. Verse 30, the straight away the brother condemned his brother. Look at verse 30. When the son, he says, when the son of yours, not his brother, when the son returned, he refused to go in at first. Okay, let's look at verse 25. Now his older brother, the older son, was in the field. As he came back, he drew near the house. He heard music and dancing. He must be away. He was doing his work, and then he was not told of any party of anything. But suddenly, when he came back, there was music, there was dancing. How it was done quickly, that, wow, there was music and everything. And one of the servants asked, what these things meant? And verse 27, the servant said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. And the brother was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered the father, look, father, these many years I've served you. I've never even disobeyed one of your command. Yet you never give me a young goat and that I may celebrate with my friends. That means the both of them have certain circle of friends which they would like to be with. But the elder brother felt that he was neglected. Verse 30, he said, but this son of yours who has devoured your property with prostitutes, in the NIV. He didn't say earlier, your property with prostitutes. How does he know that his brother spent all the money with prostitutes? And you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said, right, so the brother is full of hatred, condemning his brother, condemning his father also. You serve you right, you gave, what is it, to this brother. There was bitterness, he refused to go in. That means there was hatred, there was bitterness. How can this brother treated you like that? And then, I don't want him as my brother. Full of bitterness, he is not my brother anymore, but he's your son. Just your son, not my brother. How can that happen? Still his brother, but he just refused. May have hurt the brother, the younger brother may have hurt, I don't know, but he's full of bitterness. Nope, no means no, I will not go in. That means I purposely don't go in to show you my dishonor, to show you my displeasures, to show you my hurt. But the father says, try to console him. Okay, character number six, the servants. Surprising, when the son asked, what is this happening, right, in verse 26, he called one of the servants and asked, what are these things? What is the merry making? And the servant said to your brother has come, and your father has killed the... Yeah, it's true. But I believe he exaggerated until so much. He said, yeah, your brother, no, this brother of yours, come home already. And the father has killed the best fattened calf because he received him back and safely. Oh, this even aggravates the older brother's anger. Because he said, your brother has come back and your father has killed, added salt and pepper or whatever into the situation. These are bystanders only. Now, they don't belong to the family, yet they like to comment, yet they like to criticize. And many of us sometimes are like that. We add salt and we say, this guy deserves this guy, now he come back, but actually he deserved this, deserved that, deserved this. Isn't it? He got no relationship with the family at all. But see, your brother, your father, to add things into it. They are just people, but added salt and pepper. Let us not be such people. And lastly, character number seven, the most important person in this parable, the one who spoke the parable, the man Jesus. What is he teaching us in this whole parable, familiar parable? What is he teaching us? Love, compassion, forgiveness, willing to accept. More than that, the three parables speaking of someone that is lost, receive him back, lovingly enfold him. Learn from the seventh character. What is Jesus teaching you this afternoon? Is he telling you something this afternoon? What to avoid? Is there an example that he wants you to follow? These are basic questions. Something that you need to let go and let him take over. Whether we are the prodigal son, the elder son, or the father, let's come back and God will just accept us as we are. If you are willing to come back, no guilt, nothing at all. Listen to the word of Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, just like the prodigal son, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Psalm 103, verse 5, who satisfy you with good things so that your youth renews like an eagle. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love to those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove our transgression for us if we come back to him. As the father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion on those who fear him. For he knows that he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust, nothing. For as man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. His place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember do his command. The Lord has established his throne in heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word. Obey the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, his host, his minister who do his will. Verse 22, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of the dominion. Let us bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm going to ask the musician and the worship leader to lead us in this song, Come and Build an Altar. This is a song that I've chosen for ministry. Let us return to the Lord and allow him to just once again renew our covenant with him. God loves. He is the greatest lover. And this greatest lover always look the best in the person that he loves. I invite you to stand. Let's sing this song. We sing two ones, and the altar once again is open. Before you come to the Holy Communion stable, let us return like the prodigal son. Return to worship him. I came to the gathering of the people of the Lord.